We're going to be in 1 Timothy 4. We're going to finish that chapter up this morning. We ended last week. Paul saying, you know what, it's good to exercise. And most of us probably, maybe if we're not every day doing it, maybe we did it when we were younger. Whatever, most of us are familiar with exercising somehow, you know, physically, and there are always benefits, you know, to that and so on. But Paul actually says, you know what, it's more important that we exercise spiritually. And the word he uses there, bodily exercise, in verse 8 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. He says, exercise yourselves toward godliness. And so what he's saying is that this can actually be, this is really a conscious choice and decision that we make in our lives, that I'm aware that God calls me to be like him. He calls me to mature. He wants me to mature in things of the kingdom and the things of the spirit, and I have to actually make choices and do things for that to happen. It's just like I would like to be able to run 10 miles this morning because I have not done that for a number of years, even run 10 feet. That is not going to happen. But if I would commit, if I would make a decision in my life, you know what, I want to run 10 miles. And tomorrow maybe I start out running 10 feet, and maybe next week 20 feet, and the next week 200 feet, 200 yards. Bang, at some point in time, maybe in my next lifetime. No, maybe I could even, I doubt it, but I'd have to find something else. Probably bike. I think maybe biking would be more on my level and easier on my joints and so on. But there's something I could do. There's something I could do to exercise physically and be probably in better shape and maybe drop a few more pounds and just feel a little better if I make a decision and do those things. He's saying the same thing when it comes to spiritual things. I'm never going to grow spiritually if I don't discipline myself. Discipline myself. I'm going to get a notebook. I'm going to read the scriptures. I'm going to listen for the voice of God and ask him to show me things in the scriptures. I'm going to write things down as to what the Lord is teaching me and what the Lord is showing me. I'm going to submit myself to those who are elder and those who have the gift of teaching. And I'm going to learn. I'm going to commit to going through the Bible. And I think two ways would be awesome for all of us to be doing it. Going through the Bible personally, reading the Bible through every year. But also, how about listening to verse by verse Bible teaching going through the Bible every year? I'm telling you, it would transform your life and it would transform my life. I think I would start with, you know, Pastor Chuck. I want to go through the Bible with Pastor Chuck this year. You can do it. If you want to learn how to do it, if you don't know how to do it, see Jim Stowe right there. Raise your hand, Jim Stowe. He will help you put the app or whatever you need to put on. You know, it's, is it pastorchuck.org or whatever. You can go and you can listen to him and go through the Bible this year. If you don't want to listen to him, listen, get Don McClure or Joe Foch. You know, if you want to go out, I would stay with one of those guys. There's other ones. Damien, Kyle. Awesome. I would start with Pastor Chuck Smith. If you've never done it, that's where I would start. And then go beyond that. Next year, choose another one. Then choose Joe or Damien or somebody. You know, but it will change. It would change your life. It would build your faith like nothing is going to build your faith. That isn't going to happen, right? Unless I do it. Unless I make a decision that I'm going to do it. That I make a decision that I write down, and I pretty much have to write down anymore because I will not remember. I wrote it down. And then what you have to do is you have to remember to keep it a certain place. If I don't write down a name, a new name, I'll forget it. And so you got to write it down. That's all Paul's saying. Am I willing to do that? To what? Exercise to become more godly. After sharing that with Timothy, he ends up this chapter. And I just thought it was good. Just a few short verses, but wow, is there so much here. He basically is saying, Timothy, he just told him, exercise this way. And now he's saying, you know what? And I always think it's easier for me to look at somebody else, or it's easy for me as I'm interacting with, you know, just everybody you interact with, to think, wow, I wish I'd be this, or I wish I'd do that, or I wish. And basically, what Paul says is, Timothy, this is for you. You do this. You make sure that your life is this. And I think that's just an important thing, that I want to be like David. David wasn't perfect. And as David made so many horrible mistakes, yet he was a man after God's own heart. And he came to the place, even in making those mistakes, that he always ran back into, you might say, the arms of Jesus. And he always had such a capacity in his life to say, you know what? You know, I'm just looking in that mirror. God, deal with my life and deal with my heart. And in the beginning of the Psalms, David is, we know, his own son wanted to kill him, was chasing him and trying to abduct, you know, eliminate him from the throne. His own son wanted to take the throne. He set up himself, you know, apparently, I mean, David was quite a man. In all ways. Apparently a pretty handsome man. He became a warrior. You think of these guys, and you wonder about their stature and just how they looked and so on. I mean, really rugged men. Absalom was a rugged man, but he in a sense was a handsome man. And he used that to gain a following, and he wanted to, again, overthrow the kingdom. He wanted to take the throne from his father. He was willing to kill his father. Saul wanted to kill David. David had so many enemies, and he's running, he's being chased, he's hiding in caves, and so on. David prays to the Lord. Lord, all this is going on. In the cave, David could have killed Saul. Could have killed him. Kim and I went to the cave. We were there. In that little oasis. In that place where this all took place. He didn't. He said, you know, God will take care of this. God will handle this. He didn't lay a hand on Saul. He trusted God. He didn't try and do God's work. And David had opportunity, but he said, you know what, God, you take care of this. And rather than dealing, Saul's wrong. Lord, kill him. What did David pray? God, maybe, just maybe, Maybe I have even offended my enemy, and that's why this is going on. So Lord, deal with me, deal with my heart. If I have been offensive, if I have wronged anybody, Lord, deal with me. Deal with me. Deal with me. Convict me. Wow, how the world would be so much better if that's how we lived our lives. And so, in a sense, that's what I think Paul is encouraging Timothy as a leader to do. Timothy, you just make sure you're walking with me. You make sure you're reflecting me. You make sure you are representing me, being, he's going to use the word, an example of me. And that's all I'm asking. That's the responsibility I want you to take. And so let's read it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. The first thing Paul encourages Timothy, again, what's he saying? Don't give up, Timothy. Don't give in. Stand strong in the doctrine, stand strong in the truth, and don't turn tail and run because you're being attacked, because things aren't going the way that you think they might be going, and because you're a young man. Now, really, in the Greek, this youngness, it's not like 12 years old or up to 40 years old that word applies. And we think Timothy was maybe in his late 20s, early 30s at this point in time. He's a young man. And so Paul says, let no one despise your youth. When you think of the elders of Israel and so on, later in life, you know, and again in Judaism, they were older men. And so let no one despise your youth. God has called you as a young man. We saw that as a young man. His mother and his grandmother brought him up in the scriptures. You know, wow. You know, some of us, oh, when I was 50, you know, when I was 40. I just love it when somebody as a young child, you know, 4, 5, 6, whatever, comes to the Lord and then chooses to walk with the Lord all their lives. Man, they're so far ahead of us, you know, that came to the Lord later. Or they can be. You know, if, again, they're exercising spiritually. Let no one despise your youth. Just because you're young. God will use young people. A young person can really be an elder when it comes to spiritual things. And so it doesn't really have to do so much with age. You know, physical age, it has to do with spiritual age. And so, because he was young, don't let anyone despise you. Don't let anyone put you down or look down upon you. We don't have to listen to you. You know, you're younger than I am. There have been people younger than me. I certainly need to listen to them because they have insight, you know, that maybe I don't. So let no one despise you. And then the first thing, be an example. Jesus was an example. That's one of the major traits of Jesus. A major character trait, he was an example. He lived. He invited those men to actually live with him. To be around him 24 hours a day. They knew the real Jesus. This is really what he's like. He's not someone, you know, when he's out in public, he's one person, and when he's in private, he's another person. He's real. And again, that's all God's calling us to be. You know, in our fellowship, just be real. You know, who are you? Be real. You don't have to impress anybody. You don't have to be somebody you're not. Just be who you are. And we'll love that and accept that and embrace that. You know, be real. Be an example. Paul's telling Timothy, be an example of Jesus. Jesus was an example of the heart and the character of God the Father. He was humble. He was as the last. He was as the least. He was one that did not lord it over others. He was obedient even unto death. I mean, you can go down through in my old Bible. I used to have them right there. Gail Irwin's 14 character traits of Jesus. Because that's who Jesus was. That's who I want to be. He was compassionate. We didn't get to it last Sunday night. Exodus 33. Moses says, I want to know you, God. Show me yourself. So he puts Moses in a cleft of the rock and he passes by him. And then he declares who he is. The Lord, the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate one. The one who forgives. The one, I have to go back and look at it, but those are some of the character traits. Take that and put it over to the life of Jesus. And they're the same. Jesus said, if you want to know the Father, look at me. I and the Father am one. What is the Heavenly Father like? He's like Jesus. That's who he's like. And so, Timothy, be an example of Jesus. The example that Jesus gave, the example, the scriptures that Gail Irwin uses when he goes over that trait is Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Here I am, the Master. I have bent down and washed your filthy feet. Now you go and do likewise. And so, servant, that is another character trait. And so, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. Be like Jesus. Now, he actually adds five things. You might wonder how am I to be an example? How am I to live my life? What am I to be like in word? What comes out of my mouth? What comes out of my mouth is what's in my heart. That's what the Bible teaches. And so I just think that, what comes out of our mouth? Am I basically an encouraging person? And I'm not saying that I'm always looking in the mirror, that I don't, because we're brothers and we're sisters and we're family, man, if Jim's going off the rail, I want to, kind of come alongside him and kind of push him and help him stay on the rail. I love him. I wouldn't want him falling off the rails, falling off the track, going off the track. That's our responsibility, but Paul says in Galatians that I do that in a certain way, that I do it very gently, that I do it very humbly, that I do it in a spirit of restoration and a spirit of love, and in a spirit that I'm not doing this because I'm judging you or I think I'm better, because I'm no better. I'm doing it because I'm so fearful. I might be the next guy and you might be doing it to me. And so it's not a judgmental, condescending, thing that we're doing here. My words, how am I approaching people? Am I always criticizing? Coming out of my mouth, is always something condescending, is always something horrible. Now I hear so many people, we live in America and man, they got nothing good. Life is horrible to them. Am I a victim? And, everybody are always doing everything to me. So sad. I get tired of it. I get tired of hearing it. I go, wow, we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be filled with joy. We're supposed to be excited about the things of the Lord and the kingdom of God. And so, life is tough and, well, it might be, but we're to rejoice in it. We're not to be always down-mouthing everything and bad-mouthing everything. And so what's coming out of my mouth? I'm not a good example. Why would I even want to be a Christian if that's all it is? And so, Timothy, in word, I'm a praiser. I'm full of thanksgiving. Jesus came to restore and redeem, to heal, to mend, to bind up, not to tear down and destroy. And, you know, whenever I'm talking about anybody in any kind of a condescending or negative way, you're being used by Satan, and you're destroying, and I'm destroying. And so, Timothy, be an example. Be encouraging. Be speaking praise. Be speaking thanksgiving. Be encouraging that person and comforting that person and redeeming that person and restoring that person. Be a person of the word. We can always encourage by sharing the word and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring the conviction because we're sharing the word. And so I don't necessarily have to say that you're the worst sinner in the world. Even with our kids, a thing that was very effective when we raised our kids, I don't know what it was, but we'd look at them and they'd be doing something, and rather than scream at them, we'd look at them and, Micah, think about it. Is that really the Lord? I'd ask them that question. Is that really the Lord? And then they make their decision because they had the heart of the Lord and they wanted to walk with the Lord and they served the Lord. The Lord would speak to them. They knew it wasn't the Lord. And so then they make their decision. They wanted to, not so much that they wanted to please me, but they were responding to the Lord. I don't want to displease the Lord. And so I'm going to, Lord, that was not the Lord. Forgive me, I'm not going to do that again. It is an effective thing for us. You know, just bringing it to the Lord. You know, you've laid out the right way to live. Now, we're under shepherds, we're parents, but ultimately, kids, you're going to someday answer to the Lord. And man, I'd rather get them communicating with the Lord and under the lordship of the Lord, even though they're under my lordship, because pretty soon, man, does it fly by. I stand here. Where did life go? Where did raising our kids go? Where did all that go? It's gone. And I'm just telling you, to me, it just seems like it shouldn't have gone. And my kids should be at home. I should still be. No, it's over. And I finally have grandkids. But where did all that go? It's over. It's gone. They don't live with... We have a huge house that's empty. Except for Kim and I and our really problem child.
Your dog.
Feeny the dog. Who's worse than any child. So, in word... You know, what's coming out of your mouth? In conduct. You know, I mean, that's just reality. That's just, it's literally how I live. It's literally how I interact. It's who I really am. You know, I never fool God. I can fool people at times, you know. How are you really living? In love. That word, it's used. You know, I love mom today. Mother's Day. I love mom. My mother would always say, I don't want you to do anything for me special. Just appreciate, you know, how I love you. And why does she love us? I miss her meals and her baking and, you know, just, I don't need anything special. Just love me. You know, just appreciate who I am. And so agape, that word in the scriptures, really, it's a love. It's God love. It's a love that gives and gives and gives, expecting nothing in return. It's selfless. It's self-denying. It's self-dying. Love, I always think of this. Love covers, because people ask me at times, you know, why do you do that? Or what should I do in that situation? I love them. Love them? How many times has God loved me? How has He loved me? He gave everything for me. He gave His one and only Son. He bankrupted heaven for me and for you. And why did He do it? To cover me. To save me. Well, isn't that what I should be extending? You know, how short we are. Love covers a multitude of sins. So how many times do we forgive? How many times do we cover those sins? 70 times 7. I mean, that's what the answer that Jesus gave to Peter. I think what he was saying, not 490 times, but an infinite number of times. And so if that person has asked for forgiveness, you've got to give it. If that person has failed, you know what? You've got to restore them. You've got to love them. It's as simple as that. Oh, but I'm going to be taken advantage of. Maybe so. Love. Loving outside yourself, beyond yourself. One of Gail Irwin's character traits, others-centered. I don't live that way very often. In spirit, I need to be filled with the Spirit. I need to be continually being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, you know, we don't talk about that often. I think it's the most powerful of all the encouragements when it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit. We emphasize, you know, the baptism in the Spirit and these events and so on, and all those are good. And I think we need to be baptized in the Spirit, but Paul sees it differently and more completely. And he says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be continually being, that's the Greek, be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Just in the normal course of life, every day. When I get up in the morning, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Man, I'm halfway through the morning and I'm working, all of a sudden it pops into my mind. Man, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, please fill me again with the Holy Spirit. Probably happens about halfway through the afternoon too. My mind's wandering. I'm tending to be negative. I'm tending to get down here because I do not want to be doing this. Lord, please continually fill me again with your Holy Spirit. So we need to be people of the Spirit. Paul is saying continually, Timothy, be being filled with the Spirit. Be a spiritual person. I mean, isn't that an amazing thing? I'm a Christian. I should be a spiritual person, not a fleshly person, not an earthly person. I should be a heavenly person. I should be a spiritual person. Again, the things of the Lord, the things in when it has to do with the kingdom of God, I should, my whole focus should be heavenly. It's not earthly. That comes to my home, my job, my motivations in life should all be heavenly. And I think we get sidetracked because they're not. Well, we need goals. I'm not saying we don't have, I got to build my house. I built two of them. You know, those were goals. I'm not saying that. But why am I building it? I'm building it so I don't have to go in debt. I'm building it so I have a place for my family. I'm building it. And you know what? I'm going to use it for the Lord. So if somebody needs a home, they might be living in a house. That has happened, what, three times? Two, three times. I want to have evangelism in my house. And so we invite people into our house. It's not, I don't want my house to be this place where I'm isolated and I'm hiding from everybody. That's what some houses are. I can't wait till I get home so I can hide until I have to venture out again. No, just Lord, I want to my house is mine, but it's yours, Lord. And so in this, I see, man, that's where church happened, really, in the houses. So Lord, Jesus, I want Jesus to be there. I want to use it for evangelism. We're to be leaders, elders. We just went through that. Hospitable. That my home needs to be used for the Lord. So I want to be spiritual. You see, in everything that I'm doing, there's a goal. There's at least an end there. And I might not always accomplish it, but at least I'm thinking. You know, this is the end that I want. This is what I'm shooting for in faith. And I'm not, you don't have to be the bulwark of faith all the time. But again, you're walking in faith. Certainly, Timothy, look at what God's done in your life. Look at why you're even in this. And wow, you can at least be sharing your faith. You know, you're living in faith, you're a person of faith. You know, I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers for Jim. I don't have the answers for Brenda. I don't have that. And you're sitting there, you're hearing this doctor say this. You know, what as a pastor, what is it? What can you say? A lot of times you can't say nothing, but you can just grab them and hug them and squeeze them. And that might say more than anything. You know, ultimately, I mean, again, we value what this, we value physical life, we value, you know, these things, but this isn't the real life, and we have to believe that. And we have to know, and it's a sad thing, every one of us, if Jesus doesn't come back, every one of us is going to walk through the passageway, the door of death. Wow, that's a heavy thing, and it could even be a fearful, scary thing. But in Jesus, do we have faith? Do we believe what the Word says? Do we really believe in heaven, you see? We never know, but some of us are closer than others, right? Maybe just because of age. But no guarantee. So just are you am I a person of faith? And again, a lot of times I think of that disciple, you know, he didn't necessarily have faith in that one area at that time. Lord, help my lacking. Help my disbelief. Lord, I do doubt at times. I do question. There's nothing wrong with that. God understands our hearts. He's not condemning you or me. Lord, build my faith in that area. Man, how's that going to happen? I'm going to be in the gym, spiritual gym, building my faith. Learning about these things and reading them over and over. And then the last one, purity. And we don't think of that a lot. But we're called to be holy people. God's holy. Be ye holy. And so, you know, rather than what the culture is saying, even in the church at times, you know, that there's a big thing now. you know, in the church where the pastor, you know, he sits up, you know, they have a, I don't know where they came with these glass, but, you know, he maybe sits there and has a cup of coffee. Some of them have a can of beer. Some of them have, you know, cigarette, whatever, because they're cool. These pastors are cool, you know, and I just think that it's so ridiculous. You know, the purity, we're called to be holy. We're called to reflect the Lord. And so go back to Leviticus, and I'm not going to do it, but one of my favorite passages on this is Leviticus 19. And God talks there about how holiness is a very practical thing, where that you know, it's not some mystical thing. It's again, just what he's saying here. It's basically how I'm living my life. And I'm living my life in faith and in Jesus. So the righteousness I am, and you are this morning, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so we have rightness in us, and it's Jesus that's that rightness. Now I just wanna walk in that, and I wanna reflect that. I wanna be an example of that. And how am I an example of that? I'm a cognizant of it's not something that I'm putting on a robe and you know, walking a certain way, maybe screwing my face up, that I'm looking pious or holy. Or it's not that I'm going off and putting myself in a monastery and having, you know, total isolation. We know that doesn't happen. Because we have examples of men that did that, thinking that that's where they would find holiness and piousness. Martin Luther, just read his life. That's the one I just think of, because I grew up in a Lutheran church, and I read about Martin Luther and studied Martin Luther. And he wanted to be right. He wanted to be righteous. He wanted to be justified. And so, you know, he would beat himself. Physically, he'd beat himself. Finally, he ends up and he goes to a monastery, and he's in this monastery all alone with the Bible open. And what happens? Images of Satan come and fill his mind. Unclean things come into his mind. He's going, how can this be possible? I've removed myself from society. I've removed myself from the culture. I'm isolated in this room just with my Bible. And he finally came as his Bible opened to Habakkuk. And it dawned on him, God brought revelation as he read Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. Oh, it's not a thing of works. It's not a thing, again, and that's why I don't want you to be confused with the exercise. No, we're walking by faith. And our faith has made us righteous. It's Christ's clothing. It's not because of our stature. We're sinners and we need a Savior. And so purity, holiness, and it's very, what I was getting to is that it's a very practical thing. It's, again, I just say it's reality. Can somebody talk to me and I'm going to speak the truth to them? Can somebody talk to me and what I'm telling them is who I really am? Am I really running my life? Like, is my life really a reflection of Jesus? Am I loving my wife like Jesus loved the church? Do I love my kids? Is my home a place of peace? Is my home a place of the Spirit? Is my, you know, when I'm writing, doing my business things, am I doing them in a way that, to the best of my ability, there's integrity there, there's honesty there? It's very hard. In my business, people all the time, they come to me and they say, I want you to do this job and tell me how much you're going to do it for. And so it's called an estimate. I do an estimate. And I'm thinking, it's always a guess. I'd say, I think I can do it for, you know, this and blah, 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 blah. You never know. And so what I just try and do, I just say, wow, you know, this is more. You know what? I'm going to take a hit this much. Will you help me this much? You know what I mean? I just, you just don't know. I just try and do it as honestly as I can. And I think that's the reality of what he's saying here. You know, in my dealings, you know, is, you know, pretty much my word, my word. Are you trying to be truthful? Are you encouraging people? Are you loving them? You know, my home, in my business, in the community. You go back through 19 there, Leviticus, and that's where he puts these things. You know, that's how where holiness is played out. It's played out in our relationships. Someone who cannot relate to anyone does not want to relate to anyone. You know, everybody else is wrong, and I want to stay as far away from them as they're in trouble. There's something wrong there. There's something wrong. So impurity. Then, let's finish it up. So it's just real life. That's how I see it. Till I come, give attention. He's already said this. And again, where as an elder, as a pastor, certainly, but just as a person, as a Christian, give attention to reading. We've already been encouraging that this morning. Read. I need to read. I need to listen. Reading the Word. Read other books. Don't read other books to the exclusion of reading the Word. If you're reading other books more than you're reading the Word, don't do it. Balance that out. You need to be in the Word more than other books. And so in reading, and he's, as a pastor again, he's talking publicly, but I think personally, exhortation. What's exhortation? Hey, let's do it, you know. I think of all the years we were in sports. You know. We're exhorting. Before we take that field or take that court, we're going to do it. Come on, everybody. You know, this is a team sport. We all got to be doing it. When it comes to the church, it's a team sport. You know, come on, let's do it. Let's go out and share Jesus this week with somebody. Let's invite somebody to church this week. Come on, let's get the game on. Let's do this thing. You know, let's see those radio stations succeed. Let's go. Let's preach the gospel to the world. Let's do it. Exhortation. And again, as we're in the Word exhorts us and encourages us and challenges us to doctrine. Boy, you stay truth. You stay on the doctrine. What the Bible says. Bible says that I believe it. It's settled. It's done. I don't know more. That the culture hasn't changed, and the Bible isn't a dead document that you know has been outdated. No, the Word is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And what I believe it. And so, you know, there isn't a, you know, we haven't become enlightened where marriage is something more than a man. It's just not true. They can say whatever they want. And look what they're saying, the ridiculous things they're saying, that there aren't boys and girls anymore. There aren't men and women anymore. I mean, how foolish can you be? But that's the ignorance. It's the wiles and the devices of Satan to destroy people and to destroy societies. And so we see it, and we have a heads up on it. We understand it. We understand where these things come from. And so doctrine, the truth of the Word. All right. Don't neglect the gift that's in you, which was given you by prophecy and the laying on of hands of the eldership. God gifts every one of us. Sometimes those giftings can be revealed or confirmed through a word of prophecy. We lay hands here. confirming and assenting to what God's doing. So don't neglect the gift that's in you. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. That your Wow, isn't that interesting? Get in the gym. These are just some simple things you can do in the gym. Give yourself fully to them. Why? If I give myself fully to them, there'll be progress. Isn't that what we want? I'll become more godly. I'll become more mature. My faith will grow in those areas I struggle with. Take heed to yourself. Timothy, you're a pastor over the whole church, but mainly spend time on yourself. I know you got all these other people, but it's important that it's you. God's dealing with you. God's doing a work in you. Take heed to yourself, Timothy. And to your doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, wow, you'll save yourself. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, you'll be saved. I think what he's saying, a number of things. I mean, certainly we're saved eternally. We're saved from our sins and so on. But I think other things. Not a criticism. I mean, I'm just thankful. You know, for years and years and years and years, really, we have a peaceable church and a peaceable fellowship. And some of my best friends call me. You know, I'm just in this battle. Well, what's a battle? Well, you know, this guy I told him I didn't want him. I go, why are you telling him? Why don't you pray? I've told a couple of these guys, why are you doing that? Why are you always like ruling over these guys in your church? Pray for them. Let God change them. Now, certainly don't put them in leadership until they, you know, you see. But a lot of these guys aren't even leadership, and they're just riding them all the time. Quote, because they're the pastor. Thank God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. And I'm just telling you, some of these things are silly things. I don't need to do it. The Holy Spirit will do it. And so, save yourself from a lot of trouble, I think. a lot of disruption all the time. A lot of fighting. A lot of goofiness. And then what? You also save those who hear you. Because you're sharing the faith. You're speaking the truth. Don't be afraid. I'm going to get to the gym. I want to grow in the Lord. Have that desire. You know, all of us are somewhere in a journey, and it's a wonderful journey, and it's a journey of faith. And none of us have arrived, and none of us will arrive. Man, I want to grow. I want to become more of an example of Jesus. I want to be solid in these things. And again, just simple things. Word, conduct, faith, the Spirit, purity. Let's pray. Lord,